talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples. Welcome to Intravenous, everybody. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Robin. Hi.
And today we have a sort of exciting little episode for you with an interview with Gavin Summers for the upcoming Vancouver Queer Film Festival. They are going to be talking a bit about their new youth program, The Future is Queer, and a bit about the organization as a whole and their Out in Schools program, as well as their experience with being involved in striving for equity and respect for the Two-Spirit LGBTQIA plus community. So without any more waiting, I will show you guys this interview. Thank you everyone for joining me today on Intravenous. We have a guest for you that is joining us in the studio. This is Gavin Summers, who is the education director for Out in School program. And that is run by the leading organization in Two-Spirit LGBTQIA plus equity Out on Screen. They are here today to speak about their new Future is Queer youth program. So hello, Gavin. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, of course. It's a pleasure. So could you just tell us a bit more about your role in the Out in Schools program and the program itself?
For sure. Maybe I'll start by saying that the organization Out on Screen does film advocacy work and film education work. So we were born from the Vancouver Queer Film Festival, which was founded in 1988. Historically, our festival was in the summer, in the month of August, and so we didn't have a lot of young people attending. And in 2004, the Out in Schools program was born as a way to bring 2S LGBTQIA plus films to young people throughout the province. And those first couple of years, we brought in like a couple of feature films. This is the lore as it's been passed down to me. At that time, there wasn't a lot of language or access to terminology or understanding of queerness in ways that was really accessible for schools. And so the Out in Schools program was born, and we decided to start bringing short films in as a way to create spaces for learning about queerness, transness, and gender diversity in general.
Wow, that's so incredible. So how long have you been involved in the Out on Screen organization and then the Out in Schools program itself?
I started with the program in 2014 as a facilitator and have been in the coordinator, manager, and now the education director role. And so my role as education director is overseeing kind of the direction of the program. This year is the first time that the Vancouver Queer Film Festival will be happening during the school year. So the dates are September 11th to 22nd. And this provided a really unique opportunity for our two programs to collaborate. And so through that, we got to discuss, hey, like, let's maybe pilot some school group days where young people can actually come to the festival and enjoy screenings in person, because the landscape has shifted so much over the last year since the program was born. These 2 days of school group and youth programming are focused on uplifting and celebrating queer, trans, two-spirit youth. And there'll be some workshops included, and it's a great way for school programs to schools to make their way to us instead of the opposite. What usually happens, we go to schools.
That's incredible. So do you think that now that you've changed the sort of timing of it, that you're hoping to get more of an outreach, that it's going to be in the school year rather than out of the school year?
I think our hope is that we'll be able to bring the programs closer together, understanding that, you know, that the link between the two programs is film and representation. And we understand how media plays such a huge role in terms of how we learn about ourselves and each other and difference in the world. And mainstream media often perpetuates some very specific tropes around queer and trans identities, particularly, and very much omits anything at the intersections, whether that be Indigenous perspectives or disabled perspectives. You know, we don't see a lot of those intersections of identity in the mainstream. And so I think our hope is that by bringing these two things together, we will build a more robust vision for the future of what we're safe queer spaces can look like for people of all ages.
Yeah. So how, I'm just curious about how you actually got involved with this program and the organization. Like, how did you find it?
I was in my early 20s when I started a career in facilitation and youth engagement, and I was working with a different nonprofit arts organization at the time, leading media arts programming for young people who'd been impacted by violence. And at that time, I was also undergoing an anti-oppression training that was being delivered by the City of Vancouver and some facilitators called Citizen U. And it was to look at the different ways in which areas of marginalization, whether that was race or ability or gender or attraction, any of those things, the ways in which we could create safer spaces at the intersections of those identities. And it was at that time that I met the program coordinator, Jen Sung, who was leading the program out in schools. And so she and I became friends, and I was her last hire before she left the program coordinator role. And then I've been with the organization ever since.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. And I think that's so important, is this idea that there needs to be safe spaces for intersections of all perspectives. And we're seeing it so much now. I mean, like, I'm from England, so I'm seeing a lot over here at the moment from back there about, like, the misjudgments on people of different ethnicities at the moment as well, and the isolation that they're feeling because there are no safe spaces for them to speak. So I think, like, this organization that you're doing, where you're creating those spaces for all kinds of people, is such incredible work. And also, just what inspired you to want to work in an area that drives for such equity and respect and inclusivity for, like, people in general?
I mean, when I first started facilitation and youth engagement, I was really new in my journey of understanding equity and anti-oppression, not just as kind of abstract concepts, but actually how we integrate those values into being and interacting with each other. And I was really fortunate to have some wonderful mentors. The first program that I worked with was not a specifically queer or trans program, but I was out as transgender, as queer, as non-binary. I was using they, them pronouns back before it was cool.
Yeah.
back before there were memes about debates about whether or not this was an appropriate thing to do. And within the couple of years that I worked with that program, the number of queer and trans youth who self-identified increased. And, you know, I'm just one person, but it made me be like, oh, like, these youth aren't seeing themselves represented, aren't seeing themselves reflected, and it just made me really want to speak to these issues, which is why I started facilitator with the organization. It's just, I felt really comfortable and confident speaking about my own experiences. I had experience as an educator, as a facilitator, so it was kind of blending those things together to be able to have these conversations at like a school, like a province-wide school-based level. Not right.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely amazing. So, like, I feel like you might have just touched upon it already, but what has been your most rewarding experience from being involved in the Out in Schools program?
Oh my gosh, my most rewarding experience.
I know, I'm putting you on the spot.
Over 10 years, there's been so many, honestly. Yeah. Like, anytime I go into a school and afterwards we have young people come up to us just expressing joy for having seen representations, whether it be through our facilitation team or through the films that we've shown, just the excitement around what we get to bring to them And the fact that they haven't seen that elsewhere is so meaningful, particularly when I've gotten to go back to different like rural locations, for example. But in recent years, I'm doing less facilitation and more kind of back end, like leading the team, training, yeah. that kind of stuff. And I really love getting to train and work with the next generation of facilitators. Like, our facilitation team is mostly folks who are in their early to mid 20s, so folks who have kind of a more peer based experience. And getting to both like support them in growing their facilitation skills, but like also learn from them in the ways that they're navigating the world today is just such a gift. It's such a gift.
Yeah, and I can imagine as well that it's quite, I can't think of a better word than rewarding, but for you to go from having your own mentors to now being a mentor as well to the younger generation and sort of continuing it on must be such an incredible experience. So moving sort of towards more the new youth program that you've got with the Vancouver Queer Festival. So you've got this Future is Queer youth program. Could you explain a bit more in detail what that is, what it includes?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was really cool getting to build this. The artistic director, Charlie Hidalgo, he gave me more or less free rein on how I wanted to program some youth days and some school group days. And so, you know, I worked alongside with the education director at the Cinematheque, Chelsea Burks, and we decided to collaborate on this because the Cinematheque actually does year-round youth programming for school groups. They do things like media analysis and looking at film as like a medium for telling stories. And so it felt like a really great natural partnership to be able to host our screenings at the Cinematheque because they already have relationships with schools and school groups. And also for it to be something that, you know, like our two organizations worked on together. And so we have, on the first day, we've got a shorts program called Roll On By, Ways of Relating. And this is a curation of short films, both local and from abroad. We will have some visiting filmmakers in attendance. Youth are going to get to vote on what their favorite films were. And we'll be able to have some talk about the meaningful, what is the meaningfulness of having authentic queer representation on the big screen, and also the process of filmmaking, and so engaging youth in those ways. Our afternoon screening is actually the second time we'll be screening bonus tracks. So the festival this year, our centerpiece gala, will be a film from the UK called Bonus Track. It's a heartfelt teen rom-com that's kind of musical and whimsical and has like mixed animations with like the live action. So it's very cute, very Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist vibe. I don't know if, or like Scott Pilgrim, like that
kind of.
It's got fun whimsy too. And one of the lead actors will be flying in for the Q&A, both for the centerpiece reception and then also for our time with young people. So that's our Thursday. And then our Friday is going to be at the International Village, and it's open to both school groups and just youth in general. I believe that Friday is a professional development day for Vancouver, BC, which is why we've opened it up for general screening. And the program on that day is mostly on gender and expression. So thinking about fashion, thinking about expression, the ways in which we move through the world and how clothing tells a story. But the other thing that I love about the curation of this particular program is it talks about reclaiming girliness and femininity as powerful. And so for myself, for example, growing up as someone who was assigned female at birth, who was socialized as female, I don't look like a girl anymore. Like, I have facial hair. I present in a more masculine way typically, but there's this kind of like understanding that in our society that the like patriarchy reigns, that masculine is what we lean towards as the default, as what is better. You know, a young girl who wants to wear pants, no one bats an eye. A young boy who wants to wear a dress or express themselves in a more feminine way, regardless of his gender identity, will likely face backlash. And so thinking about like the ways in which our society perpetuates this harm in like gender stereotyping and gendered expectations, and the ways in which all of these short films, the string between them is really like the reclaiming of girliness and having that be like so powerful. And I think that's just a wonderful thing to be followed by a workshop on gender expression with some of our team.
Yeah, that sounds like an incredible opportunity for so many people. And I think as well, the interesting sort of take that you are having looking so closely at fashion and gender expression, because you think fashion and how you dress is such a prominent part of how you express yourself, even if it's subconsciously. Like, you see it in everyone's like day-to-day outfits. They're all so different, and it all sort of exhibits a small piece of them, if not like a main expression for part of their identity. And I remember studying back when I was doing my A-levels, like as such a big part of a way of like someone reclaiming their identity if they couldn't speak out was in how they dressed. And it was, that is one thing that they can control, even if like their voice is being shut down or anything else. Like, how they choose to dress is such a like a an individual's way of controlling how they express themselves.
So expression is something that, like, regardless of your identity, like how we dress ourselves, how we carry ourselves, the ways in which we either adorn or don't adorn ourselves, those are all things that, like, when someone looks at you, that's the first thing they see. And regardless of whether or not we like it, people make judgments and make assumptions based on how we present ourselves to the world. And so this thing that, like, actually affects and impacts all of us, regardless of how we identify, like, how do we look at that? How do we look at that with, like, a lens that empowers people to be playful, to be joyful in that?
Yeah. It's such a prominent topic that I think as well just doesn't get enough. Maybe recognition is how, like, people can express themselves in so many different ways and in so many different formats. Like, it can be, like, I think the one that people sort of will see the most is people's voices. Like, what you're saying is how you express yourself, rather than looking at the maybe unspoken ways that a person can express themselves. Mm-hmm. It's such an interesting sort of, like, subtopic within expression. I know that in your presentations and your programs, you have these group discussions with youth to engage them in, like, having a safe space to talk. I was wanting to ask, these discussions, how do you build the safe space for them to talk? Like, what goes into making it a safe place where people feel comfortable to speak and to be heard?
I think that's a really great question, and I think it's changed a lot over the last 10 years that I've been doing this work, and it will likely continue to change, because what it takes to create that safe space is going to look different for every group that we visit. And, you know, at this moment in time, the transgender community in particular is in the hot seat. We're facing a lot of conservative backlash, particularly transgender youth or gender questioning or gender creative youth. We're seeing provinces across Canada follow suit in legislation that's being passed in the States, trying to prohibit and limit access to gender-affirming care for young people, access to safer spaces in schools, so having young people be allowed to identify with the names and pronouns that they choose for themselves, without, you know, notifying parents. Recognizing that sometimes a young person might not be ready to come out to their parents for any number of reasons. And, you know, I think it speaks to this rise of parents' rights movement, and there's something missing in the conversation around how do we actually create spaces. Like, why might a young person be afraid to tell their parents? And so as an educator, it's never don't tell your parents. It's always, what can we do to support you in coming out in a time that works for you, that makes you feel safe, that makes you feel supported, that gives you the best chance of, like, relaying this information to your parents in a way that is constructive for your relationship? Because we know that queer and trans young people need the support of their families, they need the support of their friends. And so while we're seeing this backlash in the environment, like, it's so important to make sure that when we go into school spaces, how do we as facilitators both, like, state our boundaries of, like, hey, we're here, this isn't a conversation or a debate, but we're here to share with you, like, what are some of the lived realities that we face, and what's some of the joy in that? We don't want to just focus on the trauma. We want to focus on, like, what are the possibilities, when you are supported, when you are seen, when you are valued, when you are cared for. And we believe that every young person, regardless of how they identify, deserves to feel that. So our team works really hard to create those environments of respect, mm-hmm. where conversations can happen in caring and respectful ways, recognizing that like our team are queer, trans, two-spirit facilitators. We are directly impacted by all of the mis and disinformation that exists. And yet we're there to be like, hey, this is who we are. We're not that scary. And let's have some fun and talk about some things that are meaningful here.
Yeah. Your new Future is Queer program. How is it unique and different to your other youth programs that you've done?
The biggest difference is that we're asking young people to come to us instead mm-hmm. of us going to schools. And so we are creating the space. We're creating a space within our festival to say that young people deserve to be here too, and creating space for families to be more involved as well. So like for the day on Friday, my hope is that like some youth will want to come with their parents, that, you know, like that conversation can be something that is held with families, and something that we can do together.
Yeah. Have you created this one then to be more like, it's not just for youth, it's for youth, it's for their families that maybe want to learn a bit more and may not fully understand but want to be accepting of what their child is going through?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'd say that this is an invitation. There's content throughout the festival that some of it is rated for PG or rated for youth. So there are opportunities for young people to come and see other aspects of the festival. And so I think by being like, hey, like this isn't something that you need to do on your own, you can invite your family to as well. Is a great opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's an incredible opportunity as well of like welcoming the parents into the conversation of like, this is what I'm going through and I want you to like be a part of it and I want you to be able to like understand it, to understand like me. I really like that atmosphere that's being created. And obviously these programs that are around, this has happened sort of alongside this anti-trans and anti-queer like sort of hate that's in the society at the moment. And particularly I was wanting to ask if you could maybe touch upon what is happening specifically in education in regards to that as well.
Yeah, so in the education sphere over the last couple of years, we've definitely seen an increase in anti-trans and anti-queer hate. Particularly as I have firsthand accounts from students and from educators as well. And really, this is coming out of the 2020 pandemic and from lockdown through reopening of schools and facilities. There's something that we're calling trans panic of like, we need to be pointing the finger at someone saying something is wrong. And so I think trans people have kind of been swept up in that, unfortunately, especially given that we've had an increase in visibility over the years. But, you know, in reality, the protections for queer and trans people on an education level in this province were, you know, introduced in 2016. So I think sometimes with an increase in visibility and awareness, there is sometimes a like vocal backlash because there's going to be some room for discomfort. And, you know, my hope is that through this chaos, we can also make opportunities where folks are able to genuinely learn and understand. It's hard to teach someone who doesn't want to learn. So that's my only fear is, you know, for folks who are so caught up in the misinformation or the disinformation. And there's been, you know, some studies following the increase in disinformation that's being shared. So intentional misinformation, and how that's impacting communities, particularly like everywhere. It's beautiful. Yeah. So my hope is that for those who are unsure or maybe not informed, you know, take the time to come and learn with us. Learning is the thing that we can do to make safer spaces for everyone. And at the end of the day, like, we know that queer, trans, two-spirit, gender expansive people exist. They've always existed across cultures, across time, around the world. And so really it's just understanding like what that means for us today. And, you know, that everybody at the end of the day, I think we want to see young people be happy. We want to see young people be healthy. We want to see young people feel connected to their schools and to their communities. And so how do we get there together?
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Robin.
And we just had an interview with Gavin Summers, who is the Education Director for the Out in Schools programs. They were just speaking on the importance of these programs for the Two-Spirit LGBTQIA+ community and a bit more in detail of what the programs offer, especially their new program, The Future is Queer. And just to give you all a few dates and times and places to get some information about this program. So if you wish to find out more, you can visit their website, outonscreen.com. And the Vancouver Queer Film Festival, which is where the Futures Queer program is being premiered, is taking place from September 11th to the 22nd. And the Futures Queer program is taking place from September 19th to the 20th. On September 19th, it's taking place at the Cinematheque at 1131 House Street. And on September 20th, it is taking place at the Odeon Cineplex International Village Complex at 88 West Pender Street downtown. And if you want to get tickets, they are free. You can visit their website at outonscreen.com/VQFF/thefutureisqueer. And me and Robin will be getting into some conversation around sort of some of the topics that were discussed in that interview. But before we do that, I'd like to share with you a song. This song is Robin's song, so if you want to introduce it.
Yeah, sure. This band is called the Local Honeys, and they're not local, but they are Appalachian, and they play country-esque kind of music. So if you listen to my music show on Fridays at noon, you'll know that that's my jam. And I was kind of excited to find these two gals. There's kind of a movement in all genres of music to sort of queer it up. And I think there's a permission that's happening where artists can, you know, out themselves and, you know, be identified in the ways that they want to, even in genres that have been typically very, you know, much more male dominated even than rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And so it's exciting to think about country music, for instance, being queered up, and so these two gals call themselves the Local Honeys, and we're gonna hear their song. This is what I deserve.
Better than I deserve.
Better than I deserve.
Close.
Yeah. I knew it was close to that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I hope you all enjoy.
Thank you.